It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about solar energy. While beneficial to middle and upper class households that can afford them, we're trying to figure out here how lower income families interested in solar energy can obtain solar panels. It's a pretty hefty investment, as we established in our last segment. So we're putting the question of affordability to our guest for this segment, Ron Celentano. He is president of the Pennsylvania Solar Energy Industries Association, joining us by phone. Ron, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
That was perfect.
Good. And Sharon Piller, who is the president of the Solar Unified Network of Western Pennsylvania. Sharon Piller is in our studio with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Paul.
So the problem we've identified is that while solar energy allows consumers to save money, those savings accrue primarily to upper and middle class individuals. So I think we know why that's the case. That was going to be my next question, but it's really the investment, unless there's some other reason beyond that. So what is the best way to increase access to solar energy? And Sharon, let's start with you.
Sure. I think there are a number of problems that people sort of in low income face. So they're less likely to own their roof. They're have limited access to financing and less likely to be in buildings of deferred maintenance. So I think really one of the best things that we see that are happening around the country are access to financing. So things like low interest loans that are available over a long period of time, like up to 20 years, is a very helpful way for people to get solar with no money down. And that would reduce their electric bill, so they're paying the solar bill loan every month rather than the electric bill. And it actually would end up to be lower than what they're paying the utility on a monthly basis.
So Ron Celentano, would you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the whole thing you want to achieve is positive cash flow, meaning that you're paying less than you were before you have solar in place.
Now, other communities have used shared renewable programs and net metering. Ron, could you explain what those are and why they haven't apparently caught on in Pennsylvania?
Well, we have net metering. We've had it actually. We had net metering since started even in the late 90s, and we have a pretty decent rating relative to other states at the moment. However, there's been a long contention with those rules may be changing. Anyway, net metering allows for one to have an renewable on-site generation system at their particular location or facility, and they basically can offset their electric bill at the retail full retail value. So as solar, for example, would be able to offset their electric bill entirely if, in fact, it's enough to meet all of their annual usage.
State lawmakers have proposed a property-assessed clean energy program, or they did propose it in 2013. What's the status of that? Would it help? Sharon?
Sure. So PACE is the other, how this is commonly known as. And there is a PACE bill for commercial and industrial uses that's active, Senate Bill 1069 in Pennsylvania. The residential PACE has been a little bit more controversial in because you're tacking on basically extra financing or loan, almost similar to a loan program, to that property. So with the housing problems that we saw a few years ago, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has some understandably some issues about and how they perceive the PACE for residential. It's not controversial at all in the commercial industrial sector.
And I would ask the same question of you, Ron. State lawmakers proposing this PACE program, would a property assessed clean energy program, how much would it help? Would it help at all?
I think Sharon answered that probably best, but I would also just add just the fact that by extending that essentially out 20 plus years as a PACE program would do, and really rolling it into the property tax so it kind of stays with the home, really makes it very economically worthwhile doing. So as one leaves that house, the next owner of that house then picks up the difference or continues to pay, in essence, for that system through that process.
What about more communities looking into including solar panels with low-income housing units?
Yeah, I think that's something that we saw in the article that Andrea wrote about Somerset, which was a really exciting project. And I think that on the federal level, if we can get HUD and other groups to include this, would be, I think it really, for low-income people, this energy bill is a huge percentage of their income. So solar and providing solar is essentially, if you can build that into the building, you're almost providing free energy for people, which is a huge, and allowing them to spend that money on other needs that they have in their families.
Brad on Twitter asks, why does Eastern Pennsylvania seem to have a higher amount of personal solar panels, especially suburban Harrisburg?
Well, Ron, since you're in Eastern Pennsylvania, you can address this. But we have over 8,000 solar systems in Pennsylvania. A large portion of them are in central and eastern around the Philadelphia area. For several reasons, much of that is because solar has, there are great incentives in New Jersey, so there are companies working across the border there. And also there's a higher population in that region. I don't know if maybe Ron wants to add to that.
Yeah, and also the rates are higher in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania. And there was an earlier program, a rebate program back in early 2000, which perhaps there was an earlier awareness of the technology, at an earlier time. So I think there's just a higher concentration of solar there.
What's a good way to estimate how much can be saved with solar panels?
I'm going to let Ron do that since he works.
Let's see. Well, yeah, there's a couple of different factors, and they're probably at a date now that I always used to use. But the solar panel itself the metric is watts in DC, but basically, you'll hear about, I have a 5 kW kilowatt system on my roof. How much would that produce? And generally, the rule of thumb is you multiply that by a 1.2 number. So a 5 kilowatt system might generate maybe 6,000 kWh kilowatt hours in an entire year. And that's, of course, if it's good orientation and there's really minimum or little shading impacts.
And that's an average system in the city of Pittsburgh.
So, yeah, right. That would be like an average to even possibly small size system. Some folks have smaller, some have very 10 or greater kilowatt size systems. So
with about 30 seconds or so left, what can help solar along in Pennsylvania? What needs to happen?
I think there are a couple of things. We
probably can't do that in 30 seconds.
That in 30
Is that why
seconds.
You're laughing, Ron?
Yeah, might as well laugh for 30 seconds instead of answer the question.
All right, let's go. No, what?
There's policies that we could change that we talked about, the solar renewable energy credit. Mm-hmm. That would definitely help. The Clean Power Plan would be a very helpful policy that Pennsylvania could be for. There's a clean energy incentive program that's an optional part of the Clean Power Plan. So if we could have our legislators support for the Clean Power Plan, that would go a long way, as well as some of these other policies.
Yeah, we have a net metering issue right now with the Public Utility Commission has imposed changes of the rules, which we and the solar industry greatly opposed. Not to get into the details of that, but that's coming up very soon.
Ron, I need to jump in. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Ron Celentano and Sharon Piller, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.